every Sunday, if I have to give a sermon, I have a ritual in our kitchen. I go over the salient points with my wife. This morning she said, "Why are you pausing so much?" And I said, "Because I can't think of what comes next." So I have to bring up my little crib notes. For those of you who, like me, have had lifetime membership in the American Association of Bystanders, this particular text is quite troubling. Aristotle said there were three things in the ethical life: a life to live with confidence and joy, someone to live it with in loyalty and trust, and a purpose and a task and a work to do. These are trinities. That is, they're trifold. They're not three things. They feed on each other. The first gives birth to the second to the third wraps around to the first, and every time it wraps around and folds in on each other, they're strengthened, the core is strengthened. A life to live, someone to live it with, and work to do. If you had two of three, he said you were happy. If you had three of three, you were grateful and happy. Now, in all modesty, I don't think there are many people in my life who consider my life heroic. I'm a great fan of Glen Campbell. There's a load of compromises on the road to my horizon. We get our task, of course, from others, do we not? We have to know in our lives who has given us our purpose. We don't get it ourselves. We get it from the ones who love us and care for us. It may not be a person, might be this community, might be this place for all that I know. Well, I was given a purpose. I went to Haiti 22 years ago. I was quite scared. It was the Saturday before the Thanksgiving week. I was assured that I would be met by a Haitian who would guide me around, but the sticker price on Haiti was high. Mary was kind of weepy in the car going to the airport. And I said, "I'm going to be fine." She said, "I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about you coming back and ruining our Thanksgiving." But I didn't. You know, there's a wonderful song, "There Comes a Time When You Hear a Certain Call and the World Comes Together as One." There are people dying. It's time to take a stand for life, the greatest gift of all. That was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie as a response to the 1985 genocide and famine in sub-Saharan Africa. It minted 30 million copies in a month and raised $144 million. It was remastered in 2010 as a result of the Haitian earthquake. It struck Haiti. It struck where this parish had its work, in Léogâne. It struck the epicenter at 4:05 p.m. on a Thursday. Do you realize that there were people from this parish and from our school who were going on Saturday? 300,000 Haitians died in 5 minutes, more than Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. 500,000 amputees, 1,500,000 homeless. There comes a time when you hear a certain call that the world must come together as one. I got my little vocation in Haiti. Oh, you know the story. I tell it all the time. She gave it to me. I walked into Cité Soleil, 27 square miles of the worst hovel and poverty that you could possibly imagine. And I was with my guide, Philippe Calixte, and we were in the Marguerite Nassau Medical Clinic, and there were nurses teaching young Haitian mothers about neonatal care. And when you're a white man in a black room, everyone stares. And I felt very self-conscious. And this young woman stood up. I explained to you, told you, you of her. She was in blue sweatsuit and sweatpants and a hat in that heat. And she started shouting to me. I know it was to me, not at me. At least I knew that. And she kept saying, ma très fâchée, I don't know what she meant, ma très fâchée, parce que mes besoins peut-être mon pamio, sous caca. Oh, you know the word caca. And he saw my discomfort. And he said something to her in Creole, and she nodded. And then he turned to me and he said, okay, I've told her that you're just visiting. You're just with me. You're not here to do anything. She thinks because you're an American, you've come to help her. She's telling you about her life. Oh, she's telling you about her life. She's carrying her children over all this trash and filth. Can you say something to her? Can you tell her you've heard her? Can you give her some dignity? I had nothing to say. So I stumbled out. I come from the United States. I know many people. I will tell them what you told me. I will ask them to help you. You remember Charles Schulz had the cartoons of Charlie Brown when they're all looking at the clouds? And Linus says, I see Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And the other children say, I see the universe in God's array. What do you see, Charlie Brown? Oh, I see my little rubber ducky. That's what I felt like. How can... And she came right toward me. I took one step back. I remember that. I said, she's going to strike me. My heart was in my throat. I'm going to take it like a man. For being so stupid. But she didn't. She took her lips and kissed me here and here. And then she turned her cheek and I kissed her here and there. And she looked at me and went back. There comes a time when you hear a certain call that the world comes together as one. I don't know what would have happened if she had struck me. I never went back. I never would have gone back. That's the end of that. But if she had just sat down, I don't know. But the kiss, you see, the kiss is the alchemy which changes your suffering into gold. That was the power of the kiss. And so a life to live, someone to live it with, and a task to do, they come from each other, do they not? Now, I know what you're saying. The text is quite different. Can I bury my dad? Nope. Can I say goodbye to my friend? Nope. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and lifts it up is not fit. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but every plow to which I put my hands, they've been off it more than on it. It's very frustrating because we just are not perfect. When I had the privilege of teaching ethics in this wonderful school of ours, I would tell the students four things. One, every human act you do is flawed and imperfect, no matter how well-intentioned. If it's flawed and imperfect, it will have a negative effect, however unintended, on someone or something. If it has a negative effect, it will be criticized by those who are standing by. And therefore, the most important one, you must do the very best thing you can do in this situation, given what it is. So I really love that. You think I'm teaching them to take their hands off the plow? I've thought about it. We can be, of course, too soft on ourselves. Luke is warning us about promises we have no intention of keeping. You respect the dignity of every human being? Will you seek and serve Christ and your neighbor? We know that. We know that. I asked Bill Murray after the 8 o'clock service if he had ended his sermon last week with an instruction to you all to be gentle with yourselves. And he said he did. That's what I remembered about that sermon with Jezebel and all her nonsense. To be easy with yourself. Why? Why? My little granddaughter, I love John Wayne. I love John Wayne. John Wayne said something wonderful. Okay, Pilgrim. Life is pretty tough. But it was a lot tougher when you're stupid. And oh my God. And my little granddaughter, Mary Abigail, is riding a horse. She's riding a pony, Pixie. She's 6. And I went to get her on Friday after she rode Pixie around the paddock. And there's a sign in the barn. It's a wonderful sign. If you want to be a horseman or a horsewoman, know this. You must learn to kiss the ground with your backside. Well, after the 8 o'clock service, a woman came up and she said, you know, John, I think I have the first two. I'm not sure about the third. I'm not heroic either. But I'm wondering if we have to be heroic. Do you think you get to the gold of the cross because you've been strong? You get to the gold of the cross because you love Jesus and he loves you. End of story. Well, I can tell you about love. Love is the alchemy that changes misery into gold. We were in the Oglethorpe Baptist Church in Oglethorpe, Georgia. We were having lunch. The pilgrims were going to visit their loved ones at the Macon State Prison. In my van, there was a woman whom I had never seen before, but she was at the end of the table as it was clearing away, and she looked at me and said, "You, sir, are very kind." And she noticed I was perplexed. "Didn't you drive today?" I said, "Yes, I did." "Well, I couldn't come without you because I don't drive and I don't have a car and I just needed this transportation, so thank you." And I said, "Well, you're very welcome. I've not seen you before. Are you here? Are you new here?" She said, "Yes, yes, yes. My son was transferred from Jackson. He's here now for how long?" Well, then the inevitable questions, what did he do? He has 15 years for armed robbery. Well, what do you say? "Well, that's not bad." Or, "Really?" So you're silent. And she said, "Well, you know, he's not my son. My husband, before he passed, my husband and I opened our home to foster children. And he lived with us for about 3 years until he got into high school, and then he moved away. I had not seen him in years, but I got a call from a lawyer who said that he was going to be sentenced. And would I come?" I didn't want to, but I did. When the judge pronounced 15 years, he turned to me and said, "Mommy." And then once I heard "Mommy," I couldn't turn away. He knows what he did. And he knows what he did was wrong. And those of us who love him now will bear the cost. And you know what I said to myself? "Madam, I would like to kiss your feet." Because that's the love that changes misery into gold. There's a choice we're making when we're saving our own lives.